interviews, and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello, and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Adkison, and we kick off a new year with some new opportunities for FFA members. The America's Farmers Grow Ag Leaders program awards more than $2 million in scholarships, and there's more to come. The program is targeted towards students pursuing careers in agriculture and is sponsored by the Bayer Fund. Students who are enrolled or are planning to enroll in trade schools, community colleges, and four-year universities can apply for the $1,500 scholarships.
This year, we'll be giving away more than 350 scholarships totaling more than $500,000. The program opened on November 1st, and it runs until January 15th, 2020. It's available to students pursuing degrees in ag-related fields. They just have to have a GPA that's higher than 2.5. Each applicant also has to receive an endorsement from at least two local farmers. It's open to both FFA members and non-FFA members are also eligible to apply.
Again, that deadline to apply is January 15th. Head to americasfarmers.com for rules and information. So now we head off to the Lone Star State, where the Breckenridge High School FFA chapter in Breckenridge, Texas, has been competing at the state level in agricultural skills demonstration with their artificial insemination project. Hear from this very successful team and their insights about what they've been learning and presenting.
Hi, my name is McKinley Roberts.
And I'm Roland Sims.
And we're here to tell you about our artificial insemination demonstration that we do for agricultural skills.
And that's part of FFA, right?
Yes, sir.
How's that been going?
It's been going fantastic, actually.
We have won two competitions, area and district, and now we're on state.
Well, can you tell us a little bit more about it for people who don't really have any idea, you know, what it means, what your competition is all about?
It's agricultural skills, and so you pick a skill in agriculture, and you demonstrate it to a set of judges. So basically, you just walk them through how to do it, but there is questions at the end about your skill that you demonstrate. There's always, I guess, safety equipment. You know, you have to go through safety procedures and just the overall actual skill. And so ours is actually pretty unique. A lot of other schools do small engines, repair, things like that.
More mechanical.
Yes. And so ours is actually can be done on a real life animal. And there's many producers and ranchers here in this town that actually use this for their breeding purposes. So it's really neat.
So it's not contrived. It's real world.
No, it's definitely real world. And so, I mean, you take classes to learn how to properly inseminate these animals. And then really the big picture is to just better your livestock and your herd.
Right. Yeah. Well, now, has this been a pretty demanding project?
Yes. We have put in some strenuous hours, I would say,
before lunches school. And bug times before school.
Well, I know that I got to see you give a presentation on it, and I was kind of blown away about, you know, just how serious it is and sophisticated.
Yes, because so we memorize the script first, and then we go into actually doing the skill. So it takes quite a bit of time.
That's cool. And what have you learned about all this, about yourself, about the process, so on and so forth?
We've learned a lot about the reproductive system of a cow, proper management, and how to properly public speak.
It's been great. And so I know that all of our whole team actually shows at our county livestock show, and so this just kind of helps us see a different perspective of, you know, how our animals are actually bred and the proper way to take care of them through that process.
Well, and I would think that you've had to learn some things about sequence and technique.
Definitely. Yes.
Because I noticed in your presentation today that, you know, you're really trying to give accurate information.
Right, yes. And we want it to be as detailed as possible. We want them to really understand what we're doing, but at the same time, we want them to be kind of wowed with and all that we know.
Ms. Torres always tells us to teach it to them like they've never heard it before. Try to give as much detail as you can.
Well, now, if you needed to thank anybody or somebody's, who might you want to thank right now for all they've done with you?
Ms. Shortis, definitely.
Definitely. And we've had, I like to thank our parents, too, because, I mean, they get to come in and see and ask questions as well. And we've also brought in a couple of other people to just kind of watch us. And Mr. Hanna, too. He's great.
Right.
Just kind of helping us with learn those harder questions.
And he's taught me to use limits to help me enunciate when I speak.
Yes.
Sure.
He so speaking
good speaking skills, yeah.
Yes, it was great. And then we Mr. Fields came today.
Right. Gave you some feedback.
Yeah, gave us some feedback.
Well, listen, I just want to say on behalf of everybody that people are really impressed with your program, all three of you, and we wish you the very best and are very appreciative of the whole, you know, FFA program. It's just really cool.
It's fantastic.
All right, good luck.
Well, it sounds like the team is continuing to excel and will have many successes yet to come. Well, stay tuned. We'll meet another chapter that's dominating the CDE competition on the national stage. Learn their secret next on FFA Today. Welcome back to the show. Now we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckwald, who introduces us to the Big Walnut High School chapter in Ohio, the first and so far only chapter to win the national CDE competition in food science and technology 2 years in a row.
Joining me today is Jillian Salmon, and she is a senior at Big Walnut High School, and she is going to be talking to us today about a back-to-back win for her high school at the national convention in a food science and technology CDE. Jillian, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming on.
You're very welcome.
Now, how long have you been part of the FFA?
This is actually only my second year in FFA.
Okay. What brought you into the organization?
It was a bit of an accident, if I'm being honest with you. I am very interested in animal sciences, and I needed an extra elective, and I saw that my school offered veterinary science.
Okay.
So it sounded interesting to me, and I signed up, and I wasn't aware that it was an ag class. So I kind of got involved with that, and I really couldn't tell you what drew me in, but on a whim, I signed up for food science and technology, and a year later, I have been on the national winning team.
Wow. Very cool. Well, it sounds to me like it was a fortuitous turn of events for you to take that class and to sign up.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so grateful for it.
That is great. Very cool. I want to learn more about the food science and technology CDE. So tell me how this all starts. When do you first begin, I guess, practicing and learning about this CDE?
Well, like I said, I kind of joined FFA in a fortunate turn of events at the beginning of my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that the sign-up sheet went up for food science in about September, maybe, of junior year. So in September, we all got together and we started learning about the CDE. And then I think there were like 15 of us that signed up. And obviously, 15 of us don't compete. So we had the online test first. And then later, we had the sub-district contest, at which it was determined what the four members who would be on the team were.
So you actually have a competition within the competition to determine who makes the team.
Yes, you could say that.
And so you saw the sign up and you signed up. What made you interested in this? What was it about you that made you sign up for this one, say, as opposed to some other competition?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny that you should ask. I really had no idea what food science was before I signed up. I had no prior interest in it. I couldn't really tell you what drew me in, but I did, and I started to love it.
Good for you. Well, it seems to have worked out. So you went all the way your junior year to the national convention and won. Is that right?
Actually, we won states my junior year, and then we competed at national convention this year, in this past October.
Okay. All right. Very good. And you won this past October.
We did.
Well, congratulations. That had to be quite a moment.
It was very intense.
Well, that is great, Jillian, and congratulations on your for you and your team and your chapter on your win this year. I know that's very, very exciting. I want to ask your advice for other students just really quick. If there's another student out there and they're looking at a competition, they have no idea about it, and it's just going in blind and saying, I'm going to try it out. If they're trying to decide whether or not to do that, what advice would you have for them?
I would encourage them absolutely to go for it. I mean, 2 years ago, if you would have asked me if I would have won a national contest with FFA, I would have laughed at you. FFA has, you know, like taught me that I really can do whatever I put my mind to, and it has opened up so many opportunities to me that have been so completely invaluable to my life. So I would say absolutely to go for it. You do not know where it's going to take you. And like me, you might find a passion in a new field that you weren't even aware of.
Great answer, Jillian. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us today.
You are very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Matt also caught up with chapter advisor Jeff Stimmel to get his perspective on the wins.
Jeff, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
This competition sounds unbelievably intense. I mean, how intense and how stressful is this for your students?
So it's really interesting. It's very technical, and it does challenge them a lot. So what's interesting is the part that kind of gets kids in the door is two of the individual practicums that they do are aroma identification. So they're given a vial with an unknown aroma, and it could be a fruit like raspberry, or it could be a spice like nutmeg. And then they also do triangle taste testing. So they're given three food samples that look the same. One is different. So they have to sample the three and determine which one is different. So that's kind of how I always get kids in the door. It's telling them, you know, hey, you should come to this practice after school tonight. There will be food. And then they really kind of have latched on. And it's interesting because we don't always think of how our food gets to us. And that's really the joy of the food science CDE is the processing and the product development and all those sorts of things that they get to look at and learn about. And this year, actually, before Nationals, we had the opportunity to tour several different food production facilities, which really then, you know, students have been studying this conceptually, and then they get to go see it applied. And that's really rewarding for them. But yeah, it's definitely really intense. And students, they work really hard. And that's kind of, I think, why we've done so well the past few years.
Wow. How do you coach these students to be able to perform like this under this stress with all this technical information?
So we focus on kind of different aspects of the CDE. So we start off with the written exam. So the written exam is worth the most points in the contest. So we start there and we just start hammering those concepts. But I think what really sets us apart is a lot of people take old tests and they just memorize the questions and they hope that those questions are going to be thrown at them again. So it sometimes gets annoying, I think, to students, but we really break it down to the concept that the question's asking about. So like, for example, the past few years, there have been a lot of questions about meat and specifically the different types of the colors of the meat and how that relates to what is in the meat. So we talked a lot about myoglobin and hemoglobin and all those things. So kind of, you know, the question might be what makes meat red, but the next year it'll be what makes meat not red. And if students don't know the concept behind the question, they tend to struggle. So we focus a lot on conceptual knowledge. And then also just, like I said earlier, an understanding of the industry. So when we toured production facilities, I know Jillian told you the story about finding out that it's oatmeal. So their product development project, they were planning on something completely different. They found out that it was oatmeal and they had to quickly shift. And what Jillian told me when they came out was the thing that saved her was we had toured a food production facility, and she just kept thinking to herself, if this was being produced in their facility, what would I see? So kind of connecting the dots of what she learned about, what she saw, and then what she, the task she was asked to complete. So that was really rewarding to see how she connected all those dots.
Yeah, that is really cool that, you know, because you're dealing with multiple different ways of learning as well, going and touring the facility, doing the written test, reading up on things, and then these students can bring it all together there at the end.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Now, each team, do they get to compete only once, or can the same team go back-to-back national convention year after year?
Yeah, so National FFA does not allow students to compete in the same career development event twice at the national level. So the students that the first year were on our winning team weren't eligible to come back the next year. So we had a whole new group of students who went through the process, and then we won our state contest and advanced to nationals. And then that meant this year I actually had a whole new team, and we actually won the state contest for the third year in a row. So we'll be back next year to defend our titles. So kind of an exciting time to figure all that stuff out too.
Wow, you've got this dialed in. You've got it figured out.
Yeah, and like I said, it's I get four kids that want to really work hard, and that's sort of the cool thing. And now what's really awesome is this year's team, one of the students, her twin brother, was on the team that won last year. And then the alternate for this team, her brother was on the first team that won. So now it's also kind of becoming a family thing. And, you know, I saw my brother do this. Now I want to do it. So it really, I have to give all the credit to the kids. They work super hard. And there's nothing that we've asked them to do that they haven't done. And we always remind them of that. You know, it's challenging, you're fed up, you're frustrated, but there's a reason I'm asking you to do this. Just push through.
Very cool. So do the team members from, say, the last year's national championship winning team, do they help mentor the new team, help them train, help them study?
Yeah, so the first year, we had two students that were graduates. So one was at Youngstown State University, one was at Bowling Green State University, so they weren't around. But the two that were still in high school kind of came and helped and everything. But this year's team really took on a great role. So I actually was in charge of putting together our district contest this year, which students have to get through to advance to state. So I kind of looked at the national team, since all of them were still in high school, and said, you guys are in charge. They coached our team through the district level, and then we kind of came back together after that and pushed on for state. But they really did a good job mentoring and explaining. And like the first time we ever did product development with that new team, I printed out the scenario and gave it to them, and I stepped back, and the four students who were at the national contest last year each paired up with a new student who was in their role, and they talked them through the whole thing. So this, it was completely student directed, and that was the really cool thing, to see my students learn how to do it and then how to apply what they've learned and teach other people. So it is a great asset to have those students still in my program who have gone through it and can really help out.
Very cool. So you just won state again. That means that this team will be competing at the national level again in 2020?
Correct. And the really awesome thing about our state contest is that, so it's hosted at Ohio State, and their Department of Food Science and Technology offers scholarships to the top individuals. So one of my students placed first, so she has won a $3,000 scholarship, which is really awesome, to further her education at Ohio State and study food science. So we have our state contest a little early, but those four students have earned the opportunity to go to nationals in 2020.
Awesome. Well, congratulations to you and all of your team members, all of your whole chapter on this success. It's unprecedented and it's fantastic. I appreciate you sharing it with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, thanks as always to Matt for his work. Now don't go anywhere. We'll meet an advisor pulling double duty in Iowa just ahead on Rural Radio 147. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. Now, finally, we head to Iowa. That's where we meet first-year teacher Alyssa Russ, who is both middle school and high school ag teacher and FFA advisor for Clear Lake Community School District. Hear how she's not only bringing a wealth of ag knowledge and experience to Clear Lake, but also a passion for giving kids a purpose.
My name is Alyssa Russ, and this is my first year as the agriculture teacher here at Clear Lake. I come from a family of educators, and it was really cool for me to be able to see just the purposeful career that my parents had, and I really wanted to echo that and what I was going to do for my career. I never really strayed too far away from education. It was always kind of dabbling between what area I wanted to go into, but towards the end of my high school career, I recognized that agriculture was a really cool place to be, and ag education has a really unique way that it impacts students, and I wanted to be able to continue that impact on future students that I would have the opportunity to interact with, and again, just to have that purposeful career was super important for me as well. I think my parents and then my older sister, especially within talking about role models within like the career area, those would be my big ones. They're all very different in how they run their classroom and their strengths and whatnot, but they each played a really important role in me trying to be the best teacher that I could be. My mom's a special ed teacher, and from her, I always remember, you know, it's all students that are in my room, trying to get to all of them at some level, regardless of ability, trying to get them interested in what I was teaching or just excited about coming to class. My sister does an amazing job of the work-life balance, and that's something that, I'll be honest, I'm a little worried about, but she helps me remind, like, this is a really important job, and we do have really important work, but it's also important, you know, to be recharged and take care of yourself and all that sort of stuff. And then my dad was the initial spark, of course, having him in class and just how excited he was about agriculture and how that excitement throughout the course of the semester and the year is something that I always work to achieve as well. I think it was the second day of school. Just, you know, why is agriculture important? And we talked about the need that exists in Iowa that we're getting security, and how, you know, we are arguably the state that feeds the rest of the world. So we talked about the need for that and just the need of people understanding where their food comes from and why it's healthy and why it's safe, because there's a lot of misconceptions out there. We also threw up the world population clock, and we talked about how there's supposed to be 9.7 billion people on the face of the earth in 30 years. And for some students, I was like, oh, wow, that's a lot to try and think about. But it really drove home the point of this is super relevant and it's super important because everybody has to eat. Everyone should have a healthy diet and have access to that. And the only way they do that is through agriculture. There's so many avenues that they can still be involved in agriculture in, and I think students are really starting to see that. But it is such a diverse industry and everybody is involved in it, so just taking the chance to get to know it a little bit more, I think students would instantly be interested in what we do. At the core of what I want this room to be and what I want this program to be, I want it to be a welcoming and inclusive space for students where they feel comfortable and also feel challenged to constantly learn and think in new ways and apply what they're learning. The relevance of what we're teaching is super easy. Explaining that why is something that just comes naturally in what we do. And that's something that I want embedded every single day that students walk into this room. Feeling comfortable, feeling included in everything that we're talking about, regardless of what their background is or what their opinions are. When that happens, you know, everything else will just come with it. But I want Clear Lake to be known as just a really solid program. I think big picture, you know, creating a really awesome experience for the students in the program and then having a reputation of the students that come out of the Ag Ed program at Clear Lake are really quality, hardworking, intelligent, and learning-driven students. Then I'll be happy. You know, what got me into agriculture was just the variety that existed there. So my dad did a really good job of kind of painting that picture when I was in high school of, doesn't matter if you come from a farm, and if you do, that's great, but there's gonna be a place for you in this industry. And I think that's just so wicked cool. And I love being able to help students find their spot. FFA was, I mean, that was my jam in high school. I really liked it. I was super involved in other things, but FFA was always, you know, what kind of took priority for me. I served as a chapter officer, a district officer, and then I was a state officer for 2 years as well, which was just an incredible experience and really kind of fueled the fire that I have for a passion for Ag Ed. I've worked for National FFA as well for some of their leadership conferences, which again, just kind of solidified the fact that like, yes, I'm in the right area. I'm kind of going down the right path right now. And just constantly seeing the impact that Ag Ed makes on students is kind of what kept me in it. But I always love sharing the fact that I didn't come from a farm and that I'm teaching students, you know, about what goes on in production agriculture. I think it's kind of cool and brings a unique perspective as well. I actually had a student ask, I said, why did you decide to come to Clear Lake? And one of the things that really created buy-in for me was the support that was in the community. Just the talk of this program at Iowa State in our department, it was known that the community was rearing to get this going. And from what I've seen, it's this army of people that are just really excited about this program and want to start giving those opportunities to students. Financial support has been just unbelievable. And just the idea of what do we need that's going to make us a good program? Okay, let's do it. There's really no question as long as that rationale is there. And that is something that is priceless. But along with the, you know, the treasures of the financial aspect, the commitment that people have to just serving the program in general is really awesome as far as dedicating their time and their talents. The fact that support is already so high is unreal. And I have a lot of colleagues of mine that are very jealous, including my dad. Every time that I talk about just the support that's here, he's like, you are so lucky to have that. And I'm aware of that. I'm grateful for that every time, you know, that I'm reminded of it. But yeah, the community support is just incredible. And I feel really, really blessed to be able to harness that and to use it and to play a part in it as well.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email at FFAtoday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR-147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.